This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you all doing? Alhamdulillah. Night number 25, one of the odd nights, one of the big nights, and also on top of it, it's Thursday night, which means it coincides with the blessing of Jumu'ah. So very, very powerful night, a very strong, you know, we don't spot for Laylatul Qadr, we spread, we make sure we cover all 10 and you will catch it inshallah. But if there is anything left, push hard this evening, tonight, and of course Saturday night is also the, if a single night were to be spotted, then the 27th of course stands out. But tonight, the fact that it falls on Laylatul Jumu'ah might add some significance to it inshallah. So may Allah grant us the strength this evening to achieve it. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all our ibadat. May Allah forgive all our sins. May Allah grant that if our books of decrees are determined this evening, that only goodness is in it. May only goodness lay ahead of us. Prosperity in this dunya, protection from calamities, and may Allah enter us into His mercy and grant us Jannatul Firdaus. And for those who have passed away, may Allah have mercy on them, and that peace that comes in Laylatul Qadr may reach the people of the Qubur as well. Ameen. So we've concluded with Surah Yusuf, and tonight inshallah we'll summarize and hopefully go through all some of the major themes that we've discussed, and then tomorrow we will do something interesting inshallah. So we spoke about the big themes of Surah Yusuf. The first one, of course, the whole Quran is about Tawheed and the dependency on Allah. And if you put your trust in Allah, ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always assist us. Then we said this whole surah is about a family and the children of Ya'qub. And we said every family, even the Anbiya's family, are dysfunctional. Even the Anbiya have dysfunctional families sometimes. And subhanAllah, whatever difficulty and tests we go through, some of the hardest tests we can have is within our children. And if you look at the Anbiya, the hardest test Allah gave them was with regards to their children. Nabi Nuh, his son, wasn't a believer. Nabi Nuh could persevere so much difficulty, but his own son did not believe. Nabi Ibrahim had to sacrifice his son. And here, Nabi Ya'qub, subhanAllah, he sees one group of his sons harming another one. And what was amazing about him as a father is he never gave up on his relative. Perhaps one lesson that comes out, there's lots of reasons to break family ties, lots of reasons to cut someone off, lots of reasons where we have that black sheep in the family, or in fact you could be the black sheep of the family, and turn away. And subhanAllah, Allah, one of the reasons Allah says, when Allah describes the believers, they maintain what Allah has ordered them to maintain. That whoever cuts off family, then so this is a major sin. Because it's hard to keep families together. It's hard to persevere with the relative that is terrible, that treats you badly, that has only something negative to say. And you said, and as well with in-laws, there's always this tension. So one of the things that we do is persevere. Don't give up. Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam never gave up on his son Yusuf, but even perhaps even more interesting, he didn't give up on his 10 sons that were so bad, subhanAllah, basically committed murder. He didn't give up on them. He believed that they will reform, they will get better. And subhanAllah, they did get better. And as Allah mentions in the Quran, that we follow what was revealed to Ibrahim, wa Ismail, wal Ishaq, wal Asbat. Some ulama even mention that some of them became Anbiya, the Asbat. Allah says, it's not only Nabi Yusuf, the Asbat. We continue, and one of the big themes as well is about rivalry, envy, and the evil eye. That Allah is going to bless some of us with certain things, and He's going to bless others with different blessings. None of us will achieve all the blessings. Some will get wealth, some will get beauty, some will get power, some will get prosperity, some will do well in school. Especially with your kids, you're going to find different kids fluctuate. And each one is special in its own way. Each one Allah has given with a decree, with a measure. Like Laylatul Qadr, Allah has done this with hikmah, with reason and with wisdom. And when one of the big things, rivalry, envy, is one of those sins, a unique sin, that even feeling it in the heart, you get punishment for that. Usually Allah does not punish for the feelings of the heart. Right? So we don't get punished for feeling lust, feeling angry. These things don't get punished as long as you don't act on them. But envy, the Nabi says, that when you look too much at the blessings of other people and you want it for yourself and ask, why is it with this? Why did this person get it? I am more befitting for it. And to the point where you actually hate that person because of their blessings, then this actually starts burning away, eating up of your good deeds. And at the same time, so those who don't have, don't look of don't look too much and desire that which wasn't given to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave what you and I have for a reason. Then those of us who have, do not flash all that. Subhanallah, when we have people that are starving, struggling to pay bills, and then they see night after night, you know, you post to, I was at this restaurant and I was on this holiday. What is naturally going to happen? So we invite then envy upon ourselves. Nabi Yaqub, the first advice he gives Nabi Yusuf, don't tell your brothers about this dream, that already you are favored in so many ways. You have so many blessings, and on top of that, Allah is going to make you a Nabi as well. Naturally, it's just human nature that people will feel ill towards you. So beware of the evil eye, protect what you have of blessings, and subhanAllah, if you find that, now someone might say, I have this envious competitive streak in my heart, how do I rid myself of it? How do I rid myself of desiring that more and more? It's not bad to want good in life, but when you look at what someone else has, then it's a problem. So how do I get rid of that? The Nabi also says, should I not tell you about a person from the people of Jannah? He's about to pass by. We don't know the Sahabi's name. And the man walks by, not a big Sahabi, not one of the big names. The Sahaba looked at this man and he just walked away. The Prophet says, again, this man that's walking by is a man from the people of Jannah. And 3 days in a row he did this. So one of the younger Sahaba wanted to know, what is this guy doing that has earned him a place in Jannah? So he goes and spends the night with this Sahabi. And after spending 3 days there, he says, you know what, to tell you the truth, uncle, the only reason I came is because the Prophet ﷺ described you as someone from the people of Jannah. And I hope to spend time with you to see what dhikr you are making. You must be making some big tahajjud that's getting you in Jannah. But in reality, I'm doing basically more than you. I'm doing tahajjud, I'm fasting. Where is this man? He's just doing salah and he's sleeping, nothing big. So he says, what are you doing that is done so special? And the man says, the Sahabi, again, we don't know his name. He says, I don't have anything special I can think of, except that when I see someone has been given a blessing, I feel genuinely happy for them, and I make dua, oh Allah, give him even more in that. I make dua for that person. So when I see someone get something new, someone gets a promotion, I feel it, and I say, just mashaAllah, may Allah even increase you in that. And this young Sahabi said, this is a very difficult quality to attain, but if you can attain that, it is your ticket to Jannah. So make dua for the one that you are competing with, make dua that Allah increases them, and then you will also get that reward. Ameen. We see in the surah, a young person living in sin, surrounded by an environment of sin. Everything calling him to sin. You know, literally calling him to sin. Not only peer pressure in the house that is in, constant temptation, yet he perseveres, yet he has patience. And that's why a young person that worships Allah, that he is a young man, Arif, that if this young boy Arif, we ask Allah to bless him with piety in this life, what Allah shows that if you look after Allah in your youth, He will look after you when you are older. That Nabi Yusuf says to his brothers that Allah has given me so much because of the patience and basically worshipping Allah and being sincere when I remembered Him always. So then Allah gave him what? Allah made him basically one of the most powerful men on earth. We want to achieve prosperity, power, all the goodness of the dunya. Remember Allah through your youth. Because in your youth, these are the times you make the big decisions of your life. Who am I going to get married to? What profession I'm going to do? Your friends you make in your teenage years, your early 20s, they tend to stay with you for the rest of your life. And you want to make those decisions when you are close to Allah. So it's a very difficult time. Youth is the time when our temptations are high, and very few can control himself in that youth, especially in the society we live in. But think of Nabi Yusuf, and that's why not only if you remember Allah in your youth, will He see to you when you are old, but even on the day of Qiyamah, you will get that honor which very few people are going to get. That Allah will watch, you know, shade you with the throne of the shade of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. So, youth will never come back. Your youth will never ever come back. Those of us who are past our youth, I don't know when the cutoff is. Some said 40. Alhamdulillah, if it's 40, we still have a chance. But some have said, no, it's not that far. But if you are in your youth still, understand it's one of those blessings that if you lose it, you can't get it back. You can't fix it again. So use this opportunity to really, really get the pleasure of Allah. We see also the consequence of sin and the rewards of avoiding sin. The brothers planned a plot and they rationalized that if we do the sin, we make tawbah, Allah's going to forgive us and then our life will get better. Then we'll get the love of our father. Did they get Ya'qub's love? In fact, Ya'qub was even more, you know, thinking of Yusuf. He was more actually caused him harm. And sometimes we don't understand the harm that we're going to cause others through our sin. The wife of Aziz, she didn't fully understand how much she's going to perhaps cause harm to her husband. The people that put Yusuf in jail. So the sins that we do, there's great implications. We understand this. And the sin will never ever lead to something good. That we have the sin, this bad relationship, it will only take the barakah away in the future. At the same time, we see with Yusuf, the one who avoids that sin and perseveres, then through that Allah will bless everything afterwards. And the only way to avoid sin and temptation, Nabi Yusuf is in the midst of temptation, Nabi Yusuf, and what does he say? I also desire this woman. Ya Allah, I also want her. My body is screaming out to have her. But the only thing that stops me is that my relationship with you is more important. The only way to avoid sin, the only way to save ourselves from sin, is to love Allah more than the sin. And this month teaches us that. This month, we've stayed away from food, drink, our desires. We didn't look at what we shouldn't have. If someone was nasty to us, we said, okay, I'm not going to respond. Maybe on Eid, I'm going to respond to you. But we kept that back. Why? For the sake of Allah. And that's the thing that's going to save us. So build your relationship with Allah. And that's the thing that's going to keep us safe from sin. We also see that, subhanAllah, and we try to finish all of them this evening, the blessings that can be a curse. That Allah tests those. Allah has tested all of us. Some of us is tested with hardship, sickness, calamity, loss of life. That's a test. And there are some who are being tested with blessings. Allah has given them a lot. And of these two blessings, having the blessing, the test of wealth, the test of ease is more difficult than the test of hardship. I say again, the test of ease is more difficult than the test of hardship. Imagine we had the looks of Yusuf. Imagine we had the power of Aziz. We were the minister of finance, not in this country, but the minister of finance of the most powerful country in the world, right? At that time. Imagine you had all these things. What would you and I do with that? Would it make us closer to Allah or would it take us away from Allah? So the blessings Allah has given you and me, it is also a test and it can be a curse. And subhanAllah, every single problem in Yusuf's life was because he got a blessing. The minute Allah says that he was blessed with the love of his father, he ended up in the well. The minute he was blessed with good looks, he ends up in jail. The minute he's blessed with, in subhanAllah, every time things go difficult in his life. So sometimes Allah withholds that blessing as a mercy. And sometimes if Allah has given you a lot, if you're a person that has a lot, then that is your test. What do you do with those blessings? Because every blessing of Allah is something which we will have to answer for on the day of Qiyamah. At the same time, we said there is hardship in the surah. There are days when we can lose everything. We said Yusuf went from having everything to losing everything and getting everything back. And he maintained that no matter how the ups and downs of life go, the fluctuations of life, I maintain my priority in life is my relationship with Allah. When he was in the bottom in prison, the prisoners saw him and said, you are a good person. When he was the Aziz, the brother said, we see you to be a good person. No matter what life throws at you, it is your relationship with Allah that is what's most important. And we see in patience in Nabi Ya'qub, when you are tested with something beyond your control, when you are tested, given something where, Ya Allah, it is so difficult, I can't fight this disease. Someone that I loved has been taken away. I don't have a job. There's nothing I can do. What do? Inni ashku bathi wa huzni ila Allah. Then turn to Allah, as Nabi Ya'qub said, I only turn to Allah with my grief, with my pain. I come to Allah and I complain. Not complain, Ya Allah, why? But Ya Allah, I'm dying inside, help me. Learn from, that is one of the beautiful lessons of the surah. Nabi Ya'qub said, sabarun jameel. I will continuously put my faith in Allah. I put my hopes in Allah that He will never ever leave me like this without a reason. So we are tested sometimes with hardship, and therefore the one who has sabr, Allah says, for them is a reward without any limit. And inna Allah yuhibbu sabireen. Very few times in the Quran will Allah say, I personally love of them are those who are patient in times of hardship. And we believe, we trust that when I'm in that well, like Nabi Yusuf, Allah will take me out of that well. Allah will take me out of that poverty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do His side if I do my part. Last few points. Understand that the people we wrong, Allah may give them power over us in this world and definitely in the next. On the day of Qiyamah, there will be people, subhanAllah, who will succeed. They will feel that they are on the verge of getting to Jannah. They have done a lot of good deeds, very few sinful things, and Allah has basically given their point in Jannah. Then Allah will say, wait, there are people that you have wronged in the world, and you need to answer for them. You need to You need to settle this debt here. And this is the man, as we said, called the Muflis, the one who is bankrupt. He is going to have to give all those good deeds over to the person he's harmed. He said some words that hurt that person's feelings. He said some gossip about that person. He took something that didn't belong to him. And this, subhanallah, will be the cause that this man ends up in Jahannam. He didn't wrong Allah, but he wronged others. So Allah basically shows us in the story of Nabi Yusuf, his brothers wronged him. Zulaykha wronged him, she put him in jail she framed him, and then he had power over them. And it was just out of his mercy as a person that he forgave those who wronged him. But don't be so sure that the people that we wrong will be so merciful to us in this dunya, and definitely not in Qiyamah. No one on Qiyamah, even our own mothers, will not be merciful. They will take their due share, their haqq, anything we owe someone. As the Prophet says, whatever debts, whatever animosities have not been settled in the dunya, settle them, because on the day of Qiyamah, there is going to be no negotiation. Even our own mothers will take every last blessing from us to save herself from the fire of Jahannam. So think of the person that you are wronged. Think of the person that you have wronged. Someone in your business that might have a claim against you. You have some person, there's a dispute. If you can, forgive, give that person whatever. Because the Prophet says, whoever lets go argument, even if he's right, then he gets a guaranteed place in Jannah. So don't let anyone have claims against us on this world and in the day of Qiyamah. At the same time, while we might wrong people, there are those who wronged us. Yes, the mother-in-law might have said something to you. Yes, the daughter-in-law might have said something to you. Yes, the boss might have done this. The employee might have done this. You also have claims against people. Just as people have claims against us that we try to settle, we also have a list and say, yeah, okay, fine, you're going to claim from me. But I know Ahmad and Sulaiman and Fatima, they all owe me a lot of stuff. Qiyamah, we will see. Qiyamah, we'll see. No, subhanAllah, we don't have that mentality. As Allah says, وَلِمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ, that the one who is patient and forgives, and he forgives. He's not only patient that something, saws steals from you, takes from you, subhanAllah. Right? You try to fight it, there's nothing you can do. But now you are patient, and subhanAllah, you even ghafara. At the end of the day, I forgive, and I won't even hold this account. Allah says, this is min azmil umur. This is of the most difficult things to do. Very, very difficult to forgive someone that has harmed you. So, but this is the quality of the best of Anbiya. The best Anbiya are called what? The Ulul Azm. The five elite Anbiya are called Ulul Azm. Why? Because everyone that harmed them, when they had their turn, they forgave. They said, you know what? I will be a bigger person than this, because I want something more than that. More than retribution, I want Allah to forgive me. As I make afu of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes afu of me. And we learn this from Nabi Yusuf. There are many other small lessons, and we will just quickly summarize them. We learned about the types of dreams. What are the three types of dreams? From shaitan, shaitani. From Allah, rahmani. From yourself, your nafsi, nafsani. You have the types of nufus, the soul that is sinful, the soul that is fighting itself, and the soul that is at peace with Allah. We learned how to take vows. Come tell me, how do you take vows? What are the three words? Wallahi, tallahi, and billahi. And so, wallahi qasam, right? That's not one of them. Small acts of kindness can go a long way. Nabi Yusuf just tells a man the interpretation of a dream, and that man goes and he meets the king, and a few years later, Nabi Yusuf has the top job. You don't know what small conversations you might meet someone. You don't know a stranger. Just be a good person. You don't know, that's a seed that plants that might fruit into something amazing in the future. Be good to everyone that you know. Be kind to everyone that you know. We see the dangers of gossip, the ladies, and they cut their hands. We see tarnishing someone's reputation. Nabi Yusuf refuses to leave jail until, more important than my freedom is my name. I want my name to be cleared before I'm left. We see a lot about leadership, the kind of man that he was. And subhanAllah, as some of us said, that the reason why Egypt became such a powerful nation, the pharaohs, was because of the good leadership policies of Nabi Yusuf. When he was in charge of the SARS of Egypt, that subhanAllah, it became very strong. And we see how to give da'wah. Even in jail, he gives da'wah to the prisoners. So inshallah, that is the completion of this one chapter. Season 1 of Bani Israel, the children of Ya'qub. Tomorrow we begin with season 2 of Bani Israel, the chronicles of Nabi Musa. It will only be a start, and we won't be able to finish it, but we'll continue. Bi'idhnillah is the start, and we'll continue next Ramadan inshallah, but we'll begin it tomorrow, inshallah, the chronicles of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, because Nabi Musa and Nabi Yusuf are the same. We're going to jump 300 years in the future. After Nabi Yaqub's children come to Egypt, 300 years later, what happens to these children? We will see tomorrow, inshallah. Last night's question, how many dreams are in Surah Yusuf? There are four dreams. Four dreams. Right? The first dream was the dream of the stars. Right? Nabi Yusuf, his dream. The stars and the moon and the sun. Right. The next dream was the two prisoners, the one who was pouring the cup and the one whose brain is being eaten. And the last dream, the king, the dream of the king. The cows eating, the thin cows eating the fat cows. Right, so there's four dreams in the surah. Then tonight's question, which animal is not mentioned in the surah? So was a camel mentioned, a cow mentioned, a sheep mentioned, a wolf mentioned? Which animal was not mentioned in the surah? Right? Well, it's for tomorrow. You answer the question and we put it in the cards, inshallah. So with that, we conclude Surah Yusuf. We begin a new chapter tomorrow, inshallah. Just a reminder, Salatul Layl, 9:30 this evening. And with this being, I said, the last few nights, the fitrah and your fidya, please remember to give them. It's coming close to that deadline. Any questions, concerns, wismuhammad@gmail.com. JazakAllah khair wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi sallam ursaleen. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.